Praise the Lord. We're back. This is video two of Prophetic Protocol. Hallelujah. Right now we're going to deal with Prophetic Principles of Deliverance Ministry. Amen, somebody. The prophetic word brings deliverance. That's why the prophetic word exists, to break the rules, to break things that were never supposed to happen for you. God makes happen for you because he loves you and because you're his child. And there's certain things that if it's limited here on earth, see, heaven has no limits. And if you're going to bind things in earth, they got to be bound in heaven. And if you're going to loose things in earth, they got to be loosed in heaven. So why should I have something operating here in earth that's not operating in heaven? Heaven has no limits. Heaven has no limitations. So neither should my life. I should be able to walk in abundance. But that walking in abundance is might walk abundantly, that they might have abundant life, might have or live life more abundantly. We sing in the soul song, more abundantly, more. We love to clap our hands, but it's might. You got to choose to walk in that. If you don't make the choice to walk in abundant life, it ain't yours. You got to make it a choice. You got to decree over your own life. You got to prophesy over your own life. You have to decree and declare. You have to make the confession of faith. I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the works of God. So we see that deliverance came into the world in Genesis 1:1-5. God sent his word. And it says there in Isaiah that his word, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I've sent to do. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So God's word can't return. When God's word comes out, it comes out to loose you. And for the enemies of God, it comes to bind you. But we see that it brought deliverance for Noah and the ark. It brought deliverance. Also, Moses and the Exodus from Egyptian slavery. It brought deliverance from bondage. And we see in the Old Testament, if you had another spirit in deliverance ministry, now we cast devils out. But back in the day, they killed you with that evil thing if you didn't repent. Because if there was an evil spirit operating in you, they killed you. There was no way. Deliverance had not made it here yet, because the word of deliverance didn't fully manifest until Jesus came. Somebody say Jesus. See, the kingdom is here. He said, you'll know the kingdom has arrived when you see demons being casted out. When deliverance is in full display, the kingdom has come, and the kingdom has come. Before then, they weren't casting out devils. John the Baptist didn't cast out devils. No one drove spirits out. You took everybody out that had the spirit, unless they turn in their heart. Oh, someday we could go back to that. No, I'm just playing. Amen. Next. Now, because everybody be dead. Lord have mercy. Next point is, the only way to break away from a spirit before Christ was to repent and turn and worship to God. That's what we just saw here. Jesus became the word of deliverance, because until he came, we were still bound by the sacrificial system. And when Jesus came, it broke that bringing oxen and bullock. That blood covered your sin, but it didn't remove it. Jesus' blood totally removed it as if it never existed. Now here, I want to give this to you. This is a key here. This is a little extra. This is free, okay? There are seven steps. We call it demon possession, but the word in the Bible is not called demon possession. It's called demonization. And there are seven steps to demonization. The first step to demonization is regression. The second step is repression. The next step is suppression. The fourth step is depression. Wow. So you mean all of us who depress, we four steps away. Three steps away from being demonized. Next one is oppression. Lord Jesus. The sixth level of demonization is obsession. And then the seventh is finally possession. Those are those seven steps. Can a Christian have a demon? No, but they can be strongly influenced by a demon. God's not going to share his house with anyone. The Holy Spirit is not going to share his room with anyone, unless you have dismissed him and something else is living in you. deliverance prerequisites, and as we said again, protocol. Protocol is a must in prophetic, because we just can't be doing stuff willy-nilly. That's why folk, you know, folk running and doing all kinds of stuff, because there is no order. And it's time to bring order back to this thing. Number one, in order to get someone delivered, or you're operating in deliverance ministry, number one, prayer is a must. You must be dressed in the whole armor of God, in the word of God. Two, you must be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's the one that's going to help you fight the battle. You can't be no baby Christian trying to get somebody delivered. You ain't there yet, unless you've been filled with the Spirit. He said, when he comes, then you'll be endued with power, when the Holy Spirit comes. Three, you must have no bias or prejudgment. You got to be led of the Spirit of God and go for the root, not the fruit. There's no such thing as a nicotine demon. Oh my God. There's no such thing as a cigarette demon. No such thing as a stealing demon. Call out those root problems, rejection. Call out the root, not the fruit. That's why folk ain't delivered now. We preaching to folk fruit, and they cutting the fruit in the next season, here it come. Here comes the spirit of hoarder. Here comes that principality of oppression. Here comes that principality of rejection. And we're talking to people about their issues, and it's time for us to get down to the nitty-gritty of why they are the way they are and help them find their identity, pull them out of themselves and represent themselves to who God said they were supposed to be. Lord Jesus. Four. You got to stay calm and level. You got to be able to think. You can't get crazy like the person who is demon-possessed, okay? You got to be able to think. Charisma and fanaticism isn't needed. We don't need you shouting in the middle of somebody getting delivered. Oh, I just feel the Spirit. Jesus, I just want to shout. No, no time for that. No time for loud clapping and dancing. It's time for you to get serious so you can hone in on what is going on in the spirit realm. Use the word of God to assault the enemy. Catchphrases don't fly here. Devil, shoot me with your best shot. That ain't the word of God. Word of God doesn't tell you to do that, because you and your feeble mind cannot handle Satan by yourself. Don't you come at the enemy and you don't have any power. You ain't got God. You need to come in the through the blood, through the name Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Six, a million tongues is dangerous during prophetic. You got to be sober. You got to be sober as possible. Because a million tongues during deliverance don't help. You got to be able to war in the spirit. But even war in the spirit, you got to know, when it's time to plead the blood, to use the blood, to apply the blood, to use the word of God to fight. Not just sha-ta-ta-ta-ta. It's time to use the word. Let the word do the work. Let the word do the work. Tell your neighbor, let the word do the work. Seven, one major person should be addressing the spirit, or it can add to the confusion of the person getting delivered. We don't need a whole bunch of people laying hands, folk laying hands on a person, folk holding their stomach, folk prophesying to them, folk giving them scriptures. Listen, let one major person be the deliverance person for that time, and you just assist. We don't need confusion, because the enemy will use it against you and pit you against the next person, and the folk won't end up delivered carrying that spirit, because that spirit don't want to leave that host body. Eight, unless the Holy Spirit leads you to ask for a name, don't. Don't be sitting up there interviewing no demon. What's your name? It's going to lie to you. It's a deceiving spirit. Use the word of God and evict the spirit. Stop making holding shows with the spirit. You're supposed to be casting out. You sitting out having tea and brunch with a demon. Cast it out. Jesus didn't interview no spirits. If he asked a name, it was only for a specific purpose. Ooh, I can't wait to talk about that with Legion. My God. Nine, just because they vomit doesn't mean the demon was cast out or that the person was delivered. The practice of purging is also a pagan practice to summon spirits. Once someone has vomited, dispose of it immediately. because oftentimes people vomiting, that's a practice called purging. We done adopted it in church, don't even know what it is. That's something in mysticism. That's something over in the Asianic region of the world, in the Orient, and they purge to summon spirits. Wake up, come on somebody. Call for backup. 10, call for backup. Call the angels of God to assist you in protecting the body during warfare and doing warfare so that the demon doesn't hurt the body going through warfare. 11, bind the strong man. Neutralize the warfare so that it gives the person a chance to make a sound decision while they're going through warfare. Get those spirits bound up so that the person now can come to themselves in worship to God, in repentance to God, and go through what they need to go through so that they can make a decision to be delivered. Because they're not always sober. But once you get them there, take them on in. Take them on in. 12, I really suggest this strongly. No babies or children or pregnant women in the room, because these children, they can't fend for themselves. And that spirit will attack your child. So that's why there shouldn't be no babies or people breastfeeding in the church. Lord Jesus. Seen it all. I've seen it all. 13, don't compromise with the enemy. Command him by the word of God. Please come out. Please leave Becky alone. Lord Jesus, she won't come out of it. That ain't the time to get hysterical. You better use your authority. Use your exousia, okay? 14, discerning of spirits is key. No praise breaks in deliverance until the end. Because then you have your fool. Person that fell out, they're delivered. No, that spirit's playing possum in that person. Make sure you get them delivered. Take them through repentance until you feel the power delivering you. Come on, take them through it. And you know what? If you're taking somebody through deliverance, I'm sorry, honey, it's not for the cute folk. You're getting somebody delivered. That thing been there, living in that house for a while, ain't going to want to leave. It takes work. You're going to sweat. You're going to sweat coming through deliverance. 15, don't react, respond. If you start getting someone delivered, finish. Don't start somebody getting delivered and something scare you and you run off. Because God's going to hold you accountable. And then that person, what's going to happen to them? 16, words have meaning. Don't plead for anything. Don't beg for anything, like we said. Command, use your authority. 17, rule of thumb 17. Sometime it's the person. Everything isn't the devil. Everything ain't something to be cast out. Sometimes you got to pull that person to the carpet and say, hey, get this in order. I'm not praying for you. I'm not laying my hands on nothing. It's time for you to bring your life in order. When you bring your life in order, then he will stop bugging you. But until then, get your house in order. Get it in order. 18, I strongly suggest this during deliverance ministry. No music. That ain't the time to put on Let Go and Let God. That ain't the time to put on We Fall Down But We Get Up. That's not the time to put on Never Would Have Made It. That ain't the time for that. Get the person delivered. You don't need no music helping you get the, no dramatizations, no sitcoms, no movies. Get the present delivered. Stop showing off. Turn the music off. Give me rules of thumb. 19. Sometimes deliverance isn't instantaneous. Like we said, be ready to work. You're going to work. Somebody get delivered for real. You're going to work. 20. Be physically fit. Be sober. Be vigilant in diet and in dress. Sometimes you have to wash. I would suggest that after you take someone through deliverance ministry, wash your body. Cleanse your temple. And a lot of times I'm taking someone through prayer or deliverance ministry, I don't eat during that time. You shouldn't be snacking, getting somebody delivered, or be full in your belly trying to cast demons out. Yeah, that thing will jump on you, get so sick. You got to be smart. You have to be strategic when it comes to spiritual warfare, prophets. Amen. And the last two, 21 and 22, bring them through repentance and worship to God. Then get them filled with the Spirit. Seal it off. Seal the deal. Sometimes taking communion seals some things as well. Amen. And then 22, use blood scriptures. No cliches. No catchphrases. You know, God's going to give you double for your trouble. Come on out. That ain't what the word said. Then what the word said, don't apply that to deliverance. Get some blood scriptures. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Next, I want to address this very quickly before we wrap up here. Guidelines for the laying on of hands. Don't lay hands if God says no. That's the worst thing to do. Lay your hands suddenly on no man, where it says, because you don't know what you're coming on. When you're laying hands, it's an exchange. Not only are you giving out, but something is being taken off. And if you're not careful, you'll be taking something home with you. Don't even know it. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, they laid hands on him and stirred up the gift of God that was on the inside of him. You can lay hands and that stirs up gifts. Virtue, supernatural strength or valor in the spirit can be given or taken from you when you lay hands. I'll never forget when that happened to me. It felt like fire just went all the way through my body. When someone took virtue from me, I felt